Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 31st of October 2024. It's 7:30. Oh, no, it's not. It's 7:45. Time is passing rapidly, as you probably are aware. Washing machine is on, and I am... Am I making a cup of something? I don't know that I fancy a cup of anything at the moment. So, there we are. I had a cup of coffee earlier today. That's all one needs to worry about, so maybe I'll have some raw milk shortly. Actually, that is a good idea. But first, ladies and gentlemen, if I can find the little, the nonsense that we read each morning. Coming to the end of that, I can't remember if we kicked off at the beginning of January with it. Can't remember where we started. Just bear with me as I try to find the book. Here it is. And bring the microphone a little closer to you. So we have three little entries here. John Clare, 1824 in North Hants, said, took a walk, got some branches of the spindle tree with its pink-coloured berries that shine beautifully in the pale sun. Dorothy Wordsworth in 1800 in Grasmere, Westmoreland, said, very fine moonlight night. The moon shone like herrings in the water. And S.T. Coleridge, 1803 in Cumberland, said, the full moon, gilded on behind a black cloud, and what then? And who cared? Strange entrances. And we move to November tomorrow. And I can tell you, looking at the book here, they have a little picture, a little black and white picture, at the beginning of each month. And the one for October was a picture of some trees by a river. It was very, very nice, very sort of pencil and ink type picture. A beautiful, sort of, you know, nice. Some, I don't know what these are. They look like ash trees, actually, although they may be something else. But they are right on the edge of the water, so it could be. They're not willows, as far as I can see. They're too tall for that. But the picture... It doesn't give a credit, does it give a credit to these pictures? It would be nice if it did, because... Oh, a list of illustrations. So, this is, right, so the trees at East Bergholt, pencil, dated 17th of October, 1817. And now this is a picture of a bridge, but it's a stone bridge. It's an arch bridge, but it's a very basic sort of bridge. And it says here, a bridge, Borrowdale, pencil and watercolour inscribed. Twilight after a very fine day, dated October the 2nd, 1806. And there's a figure crossing the bridge. As it says, it's in watercolour. And it does look like it's somewhere up in, I don't know, the Peak District, the Lake District or somewhere. One of these... It's a beautiful-looking bridge, but it's not a bridge, as in a Georgian, elegant town-type bridge. It is literally an arch of stones, with no handrail, no sides. It is just an arch. It is as if someone's just put a whole pile of bricks one on top of the other. It is very beautiful, and the picture is very evocative, isn't it? Evocative. So we'll get into that tomorrow. We will get into that tomorrow. Today I am being interviewed by Clive de Carle. I'm very much looking forward to that, which will be good. That's later on this afternoon. Julia and I are visiting the farm shop again to get some more supplies.
Supplies.
So that will be good. And there was an article. I wanted to have a look at this. I got my copy of the light paper, The Uncensored Truth. On the cover, Illusion of Freedom, Tyranny Effective When Disguised as Democracy, is the thing. Death Probe Shifts Blame from Vaccine. Inquiry Fails to Address Deadly Nature of COVID Injections. Well, we know that they are awful. And then there's some rather horrific stories about people who've died as a result of... the vaccine. waging the war on the elderly. You've never had it so bad, governed by sycophants. The definition of sycophant, antisocial post-personality disorder, sometimes called psychopathy. I don't know why I read it as sycophants, although they are the same. It is a psychological condition in which a person consistently shows no regard for right and wrong and ignores the rights and feelings of others. Yeah. Anyway, it goes on about that, killing people off. But the bit that I was interested in, I think it's in here. I saw it somewhere. Oh, here we go. This is the bit I wanted to look. Political warfare against the Amish. Religious community threatening globalist agenda. And I was thinking it might be interesting to find out more about these people. Perhaps the funniest moment in the whole COVID atrocity event was when a journalist asked an elder of the US Amish community why there was hardly any COVID in their community. Without a hint of humour and in all seriousness, the elderly chap replied, "We don't watch television." Thereby hangs an enormous tale, of course. It's almost exactly 500 years from when, in January 1525, during the Protestant Reformation, the Anti-Baptists were founded in Zurich, Switzerland, and later went on to become the Amish Christian denomination. With communities right across the globe, the Amish are now coming under assault from malign forces determined to control their low-tech, autonomous lifestyles by any means possible, because of the threat that their simple, healthy way of life poses to the globalist technocrat control agenda. Back in February, Dr. Joseph McCullough wrote a long article about the Amish entitled "Travelling Back in Time, Life Lessons from the Amish." The Amish typically avoid technology and other modern-day conveniences like electricity and cars. McCullough tells us, there are significant benefits of living off the grid without being dependent on others in any way, and certainly not on technology. The Amish produce most of their own food, and they are not reliant on the public control grid, beloved of Bill Gates and the globalist technocrats. So, this is interesting to a degree. For McCullough, relying on modern-day comforts and technology leaves you incredibly vulnerable when they collapse while embodying the preparedness and resourcefulness displayed by the Amish protects your autonomy and freedom. On August the 15th, in his inimitable scattergun style, the great libertarian US attorney Robert Barnes, who has been defending farmer Amish Miller in the Pennsylvanian courts, said the following in an Alex Jones interview. "There is an ongoing political warfare against the Amish, not only here, but it's happening in Canada too. Rebel News was reporting today that because the Amish wouldn't download an app because they don't use technology, they're being fined a bunch of money, and now Trudeau is trying to steal their farms." Well, this is outrageous. Of course. And they're trying to do the same thing to Amish farmers in America. And that's an example of the cashless society. They're trying to make the Amish sign up to a digital society, make them have phones, make them have apps. Well, this is the thing. They are strange looking people. They've got quite... And the picture I've got here, they all got quite moony faces, I have to say. But they're all thriving, aren't they? They're thriving. They're independent of everything else. They didn't have COVID because they don't watch the television. They didn't have the fear, and of course they didn't go and take the vaccine. And yet the rest of the world who watched the television were in fear and obediently obeyed the control of the one world government. Now, if that does not tell you something, if that does not say, hey, look, we need to be in an autonomous, our own domains, I suggested that one of the routes out of the problem that we have is to effectively start again and say, right, many of us who are on the truth spectrum, we move away from the towns, we buy a piece of land together, and you know, large swathe of land, several thousand acres of it, and we set up our own domain. And we live outside, we build our own timber-framed houses, we rely less on technology, and we club together, group together, and help one another, grow our own crops, sell our own stuff, and become a small island, if you like, within the island that we live in. And I was told by the... I mentioned this on the Lawful Remedy, and I was told that actually this is... what would happen is the government would come down and squash you, and they... One of them mentioned Waco, that you know, we'd all be squashed and it would be said it was a religious setup and that we all committed suicide or some such rubbish, when actually it would be, you know, the powers that be squashing you. And then, lo and behold, at another meeting, the same person who suggested that said, wouldn't it be great if we had our own domain, a bit like the Amish? And we went off grid, and I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute, that's just what I said, and you squashed me. I won't mention names, but I did think that was a bit much, thank you. But I do think that's the way forward. I think that's what we have to do. And we have to try and work out how to do it. It's difficult in big towns, big cities, to do that, because you need the cooperation of everybody in it. And not everybody as yet has seen the light, which is a shame. They still feel that the government is there for them. They are misguided in that way. But that's fine, because I think people can stay in those in the cities, and if they want to live in those ghettos of control, they ought to do that. But those who wish to be free and have an autonomous life, to have free speech, to have holistic care, and good quality food without interference from somebody else's agenda, then I think we do need to move into our own space. And I think that's ultimately what is likely to happen, that many of these set up, not just one space, but many of these spaces need to come together. And so that would be, I think that is likely to be the answer. We just need to turn our backs on tyranny and say no. Well, that's fine. You could act and behave like that, but I'm not part of that. I'm in a different system. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And I think that is probably the answer for it. So there you go. I have got a very lovely pipe here. I wish you could see it. It's very dark brown. It's a briar. It is a bent pipe, meaning that it doesn't go straight out of your mouth. It sort of hangs down. And the bowl is shaped like a pine cone, in as much as it's tapered from the top. It must be 2 inches, 2.5 inches, possibly. It's quite big. I would say 2.5 inches. And it's got it's tapered at the top with the bowl that you'd fill, and then it tapers down to a point, to an actual point, and the stem comes out of it close to the bottom but not at the bottom, and it's quite a long shaft inside, you know, the filling area, and I think that must be... The stem itself is made of... this is a 1970s. So it's quite an unusual looking thing. It's called a freak. I don't know why it's called a freak. Made in Czechoslovakia, this one. They say it's a freak. But actually, it just looks like the pine cone, I would have said. And it is... it's got a sort of rustic finish. and a little shiny where they've lacquered it with something. I'm not quite sure quite what, but it's quite nice. And as I say, the stem that is bent, it must be vulcanite, I would say. I'm going to smoke it, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a little bit of guilty pleasure here, which is a tobacco by Ashton, made in Germany, and I'm filling it up. Now, if you go on YouTube, there are loads of videos on how to smoke a pipe and how to fill up a bowl. And it's quite extraordinary, really. So I'm filling this up. It is relatively deep, so it's got quite a good fill. Let me just give it a suck, yeah. So I'm not filling it totally all to the top. Itchy nose. And maybe a bit more. Now, an interesting thing I have noticed, and I don't know why this would be the case with pipe smoking, is it seems to me that when you buy loose tobacco, i.e. it comes, they weigh it and then send it to you, say 50 grams to just 1.5 ounces, I think it is, something like that. It seems to be less than when you buy a tin, not in price, in the amount that you get, that when you buy a tin of 50 grams. Now, I don't know why that would be. When it's in a tin, it's compressed. When it's loose, it's obviously not. I'm going to take a match to this. I've got a very lovely lighter that one of my listeners sent to me, but I happen to just have a match nearby. And I'm lighting it. I don't know how much of that you could hear. And it's very nice. See, pipe smoking is something I look forward to now. It isn't a need. I don't actually need, you know, it's not like cigarettes, which are addictive, and you go, oh God, I must have one. This is a luxury. It is a luxury. As you get older in life and I just lit a match. The trouble with matches is you can blow them out accidentally, as I did on that occasion. It is a luxury to smoke a pipe. And as I say, as you get older in life, you deserve a few luxuries. And it's a very thoughtful, meditative? I think I put too many titatives in there. It's meditative. Is it meditative or meditative? Oh, God, I don't really care. Anyway, I really like guilty pleasure as a tobacco. So, I mean, most tobacco I'm, you know, tolerate and enjoy. But some, it is like sipping a, not so much a rare wine or a rare drink, alcoholic or whatever, but a how would you describe it? Just trying to think. It is like sipping something that is really pleasant. And the guilty pleasure is very pleasant. Very pleasant indeed. I don't know quite what the mix, the blend of tobaccos is. Now, a lady is very generously sending me some herbal flowers and blends that she grows that one can smoke in a pipe. So, I'm looking forward to that, to see what that is like. And if it has the same taste or, you know, flavour, not flavours, but appreciation, or whether it would be like having a bonfire. Because twigs and grass, ordinary, you know, grass in your lawn, dried grass, that's not a good experience. I used to do that as a kid. When I saw other people smoking, it's the newspaper. I rolled it up in some newspaper, put some dried grass in, and tried to smoke that. Not take it down, but just as in you would with a pipe or a cigar. It was the most disgusting thing I ever did. And it put me off smoking, well, for 30 years. Then I dabbled a bit with the pipe. And then I thought, do you know what? I don't want to damage my health, because I didn't realise that nicotine was good for you. And then I gave up. And then another 30 years passed. And here I was, now at 61... enjoying the pleasures of the pipe. But then you see at 61, we're in the advent of people with COVID, long COVID, and if that's even a thing, and the spike protein in them shedding that, and it's a great protection from all of that. And at my age now, somebody who is more thoughtful, cogitative, I'm talking rubbish, aren't I? I think I better go. Anyway, I don't know whether any of that's been interesting today or not, or whether it's just self-indulgent like it is most days, but there you go. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I've got things to go and do now, so I better get on with those, but it's been a pleasure to share a moment with you in the mornings, as one does, as one gets oneself ready for the day ahead. I shall turn the computer on now and upload. Until next time. Oh, by the way, in case you were wondering, I have charged up the batteries now. So, yeah. Anyway, take care. Bye for now.